Many, many years ago, there was a series of ads for Levi jeans, and it took up both sides of usually the center pages of the leading magazines. And there were several frames, and each of the frames had a couple, and the couple was a younger couple, a young man, young woman, about 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, late teens, early 20s. And each of the frames, it commented how long they were together as a couple. Some as few as 10, 11, 12 weeks. Others maybe 18, 19 months. And then, of course, they had some other individuals in the same ads and with different partners as well as you went through the ads. You see that they're bebopping all over the place there. And the very, very last frame was just the Levi jeans, and it says something to the effect, thankfully, some things that we commit to last forever. And it's like, well, yeah, okay. But what they're trying to propose is that even though on our human faults and foibles and our brokenness and our relationships that move in and out, that our human sins and our human condition, that sometimes that commitment is not always there. At least genes will stay with you for a while. I thought, well, that's sort of sad, equating relationships with genes, because if you relate to somebody, if you have a serious commitment, that serious commitment can last for years and years and years, for a lifetime, actually, if you really take that commitment seriously. No sort of a sad commentary, sort of a dark notion of what it means to be committed to another individual. It also reminds me, speaking of those kinds of things, that several weeks ago, there was all sorts of rumors. One of the late night talk show hosts had retired or fired or quit or moved on or something or other. I don't watch a lot of late night talk that would interfere with my Night Gallery and Twilight Zone and some of those great shows like that and other creature features of that nature. That's how I go to bed by after watching Dracula and people. But they were proposing Howard Stern. And I remember all the controversy about Howard Stern many, many, many years ago. So I Googled him and YouTubed him. And I was watching some of these old Howard Stern things. And some of the commentaries that he was talking about during his show were some major international issues, some civil wars and some other major problems and brokenness that were happening in the world. And of course, everything that went on, he sort of made light of. He made light of the suffering. He made light of the confusion and the anxiety and the brokenness. And oftentimes, they are done so in very, very vulgar, very base, very, very irreverent ways, taking people's immense sadness and grief and joking about it, or joking about, well, all they need is, and making some kind of vulgar suggestions. Now, why would you want to listen to him? Why would you want him to host a late-night talk show? But people like that, though. We have people that image for them of humanity is that those deep parts of our life, those deep values, those deep morals, those deep feelings and thoughts and inspirations that we have are something that people can make light of, they can joke about, because for many in our world today, those aren't to be taken very seriously. And that's a real challenge sometimes as a faithful people. If we want to remain committed to those deep elements, that foundation upon which we are built in our God and our faith. But oftentimes that kind of commitment is not always taken seriously by the world around us. When I do retreats with high school kids, one of the exercises that I used to do with them is I give all of them a brown bag. I say, on the outside of the bag, put four symbols about how people see you. Well, either what you try to make the impression on people or people say. And some people will put things like a football, or they will put a harp because they're a singer, whatever it might be. And they will put these four symbols. And so now I give everybody four pieces of paper. Put four things that you would like people to know about you, but you've never exposed to people. Four things about you that no one else knows. Thoughts or feelings or inspirations. What really makes you happy or joyful? What's really important to your faith or to your integrity? And they put that in there. They invite the whole group
throughout the weekend I say to them, you're going to notice things that you've never noticed about this person before. You're going to notice a depth about them. You're going to notice something that is good about them, something that is holy, something that you've never known that is a talent, something that inspires you. Write that on a piece of paper and put that on their bag as well. Because a lot of times, as we know, those deep down inside things we don't want to convey to the world because we're scared. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was at Loras College, I went in to help on a youth retreat in one of the parishes. I went into the youth room or the hallway in the youth room. There was this big poster, and there was a teenage young man and woman who were sort of sitting back into the shadows there. And the caption read something to the effect, I don't want to tell you everything about me because I'm afraid you might laugh at me. And I thought, you know, that's what happens so often. They don't want to tell you that they believe in God, or sometimes they get scared, or sometimes they get worried how much they really love their family because people might laugh at them or make fun of them, and they don't want to have that happen to them because these are values they want to hold very close to themselves, but that really should be exposed and professed and proclaimed very boldly and loudly out into the world. St. Peter begins his letter by saying, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. St. Peter cuts through all the social niceties and how we might think we should possess ourselves and present ourselves, and tells us a different story about who we are as a people of God. St. Peter says, we are chosen because God calls each and every one of us by name. We are royal because we are God's beloved children. We are holy because Jesus has told us so and has consecrated us to the truth through his passion, death, and resurrection. From day one, we need to discover and rediscover and own the fact that we are God's children. We are witnesses and proclaimers of all that God has done for us, how God continues to interact in human history and to demonstrate his love and mercy again and again. And it's called us to a new life, a wondrous relationship with him based on truth and commitment and kindness and generosity. We have a God who looks for a lost sheep while leaving the 99 others in the wasteland. We have a God who is like an old woman who, when loses a penny, lights a lamp and searches the house diligently until she's found that penny, and then calls her family and friends together for a party because what she has lost, she's now found. We have a God who humbles himself to take our human form and walks among us and is present to us in every way, shape, and form, and washes the feet of his disciples. And that's the God we have, the God who loves us, the God who cares for us, the God who embraces us more than we can understand, more than we can fathom, and calls us to respond in a faith-filled way, in a faithful way, that we might continue to search and seek and strive to understand godliness in our own lives and in the lives of one another as well. When we look at children, children can be unpopular, they can be awkward or nerdy, but the thing about children is nobody can touch that inner value, that inner worth, that inner sanctity that makes them who they are. We look at them, we understand there's something holy in each and every one of them. There's a dignity and a worth. But the same is for all of us. All of us are beloved sons and daughters of the Father in heaven. And there's nothing greater than that. We have to understand that. We have to own that fact. We have to take that home with us. We have to nurture it and nourish it. We have to touch that body. We have to understand the sores and the wounds that bring us salvation and peace. And it's an ongoing process of touching and sharing the body of Christ. It means sharing our faith, allowing our faith to grow, and stretching it beyond our imagining, and to allow it to be stretched as well. And what do we think about when we categorize the body of Christ? Well, the body of Christ is about constant giving and receiving. And that constant giving, receiving, that whole process results in a deeper relationship with God. It intensifies that relationship, the intimacy that we have with God and one another, and helps us be a people of thanksgiving in all that we have received. One of the penances I love to give to children, they come in and they confess all their sins and everything of that nature, and their little legs are, you know, swinging on the chair and everything. But I always say to them, I say, "Dad, I want you to think about people in your life who have been a gift to you, not just giving you gifts, but people who have been a gift to you. Mom and Dad, to be sure, your teachers, no doubt, but people like, you know, Uncle Otis or Aunt Clarice, people of that nature who have been your support, your encouragement, who have been there to embrace you, to hold you, to laugh at with you, to help you be the person that you are today, the extra adult in your life. Think about these people," I say to them, "and offer a prayer of thanksgiving." Because when we think about what we have received from the community of faith, and when we are thankful for what God has blessed us with, and we offer a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of gratitude, we suddenly have to think about that source, the one who's the giver, the one who brings us every good thing. And that prayer of thanksgiving helps us draw closer into that community of faith in communion with men and women, with God the Father, with all those in heaven and on earth as well. Today, we canonize two great saints, John the 23rd and John Paul the 2nd. And each of these, in their own way, discovered the body of Christ. They had a life of thankfulness and thanksgiving throughout their lives. John the 23rd looked at the world around him in the late 50s, early 60s, and said, "We need to be church in the modern world today. The world is changing, and we need to be a place, a space, a prophetic body that responds to the needs and the concerns and the brokenness and the woundedness in the world today. How ought we to do this?" And he called together the bishops and the theologians and all sorts of religious people in the Vatican Council and said, "What do we need to do? What does our church need to look like as we respond to the church in the modern world?" And it's a wonderful, wonderful event that changed our history forever and brought a people of God into a new relationship with God and the world around them as well. John Paul II, who lived through all sorts of terrible times in his own life, continued to tell people, "Do not be afraid." He not only recognized the goodness of the body of Christ, but he also realized that how often our own bodies are maligned and malingered and broken by so much sin and evil. And in his whole series of writings, we have the theology of the body, understanding and recognizing that our physical self is very intimately connected to our spiritual self. And there's a sacredness there as well. And John Paul II, so often wherever he went, invited us, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to be faithful. Do not be afraid to proclaim. Do not be afraid to ask questions and to develop and to grow that faith." St. Peter says to us today, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." St. Peter is passing on to us an ancient wisdom with these words. And we must see ourselves and the world through who we really are, through what's deep down inside each and every one of us. Chosen, royal, holy, God's own people who act righteously towards others and towards ourselves.